The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Near the beginning of the Parasha, it's right at Sheni, Perek Chof Aleph, Posuk, Chof Beis, V'chi yev ish chet mishpat moves v'humos. When there's a person who is guilty, convicted, and guilty of the death penalty, and you put him to death, v'solisho yisheh ala etz, you put him to death by hanging, v'soli nivlosei ala etz, you shall not let his corpse remain on the tree that you're hanging him from. But on that day you must take him down and bury him. Because this is a disgrace to Hashem. And you shall not cause by this impurity to the land which Hashem has given to you for inheritance. From this pasuk we learn out, when it comes to Harugei Bezdin, those people that must be put to death by the court, a mitzvah esse v'leishasek, positive commandment and a negative commandment, that on the same day that they are put to death, they must be buried, and that you must not let them hang overnight, because this is a disgrace to Hashem. Rashi explains why is this a disgrace to Hashem. Zilzul shel melechu she'odem osui b'demus yunkai. It's a disgrace to Hashem because a person is made in the image of Hashem. Yisrael heim bonov. And Yisrael are the children of Hashem. And if you disgrace a person who's made in the image of Hashem, you are disgracing Hashem, the Almighty. Moshul ishnei achim tu'umim she'yedeim zelzeh. An example can be given, the Rashi says, of two brothers who were twins, and they looked just alike. Echad nase melech ve'echad nitfas listyais. One became a king and the other one was captured because he became a gangster. V'nitla, and they hung the gangster, kol hareisa emar hamelech tolui. Anyone who saw it thought the king was hanging. He said, look, the king is being hung. Incidentally, the Gemara learns out from here also that this doesn't only refer to Harugei Bezdin, to those who are guilty for the death penalty, excuse me, but it refers to everyone who dies. There's a positive commandment of Kovosik Pereno Bayimahu to bury him on that very same day, and a negative commandment, Le Solin, you shall not let him remain over until the next day, because this is a dishonor to him to leave him without burial. So the Gemara says this is only in a case where it's done in a way where it's a dishonor to him. But if you leave him over from that day, because it's within his honor, Mordechai gives, for example, an order that you want, you're expecting someone to come who can give a good hesped, who can give a good eulogy, so then you allow to. Fact is, the Gemara brings that on Aviv Imai for a mother and father, it's a disgrace to bury them too fast. Because it looks like you want to get rid of them 1, 2, 3. So therefore, if it's for the honor and the respect of the person that died, it says, well, for example, you're waiting for a better burial, for the tachrichin, for the proper shrouds to bury him in and so forth, then it's a mitzvah to wait. But if it's not for his honor, or if it's
or if you're waiting for more people to come, see, then it's a mitzvah. But if it's not for his honor, but rather it's for the convenience of the other people, then one is not allowed to. For example, someone dies and you say, well, I'll have more time to take care of it if I wait for Sunday, because Sunday I'm off from work. No, this is a disrespect to the dead person, and the person would be transgressing this positive and negative commandment. At any rate, what do we see from here? We see from here that the Torah took into account kavod habrios, respect for people. Here it's speaking even respect for a dead person. The Gemara says, when it comes to giving respect to the dead and giving respect to the live, to the living, kavod hachai madifa, the greater mitzvah to give respect to the living than to the dead. So here we see that, and the reason for that is because when you give respect to the dead, you're giving respect to a goof, not a neshama, to a body, but not a soul, the body which held the soul. But when you give respect to someone, to the living, there you're giving respect both to a body and a soul. We see the Torah takes into account and gives us mitzvahs on it that we're obligated to show respect even to a dead person and not to disgrace him. Secondly, we see what is the reason, because when you disgrace a person, that's a disgrace for Hashem, because a person is made b'nus yunkei b'tzelem elokim, in the image of Hashem. If we go a little further in the parsha, the fact is, right immediately afterwards, in Perichot Beis Posuk Aleph, the Torah tells us, Lesire eshorochicho o eseyo nidochim v'salamto mehem. You shall not see the ox of your brother or his sheep or goat wandering away, and you close your eyes to them. Hoshev tishivim l'ochicho. But rather you must go and return them to the owner. Vim le'korav ochicho elecho v'le'yedate. And if the owner is not nearby, he lives far away, or you do not know who he is, then v'asavte el teich be'secho. Then you have to take them home with you. And keep them until you hear queries about them, in order that you can return them to the rightful owner. So shall you do for his donkey and for his garment, for anything that belongs to your brother and is lost, and you find it, you cannot close your eyes. You shall not see the donkey of your brother or his ox falling, and he needs help. He's got a load, and the animal is falling from the load, or the Gemara brings from another parsha that if he's trying to load the animal and he needs help, v'islamto ishalamto mehem, you shall not close your eyes, hokim tokim imai, but you should help him stand the animal up so he should not fall. This is a parsha which is known as Ashoves Aveda and Atzolos Mamon Chaveiro, where we are obligated to return a lost article to a fellow man, to a fellow Jew, and Atzolos Mamon Chaveiro, to help protect his possessions. There is here a mitzvah essay and leishaser, also a positive commandment and a negative commandment. Hoshev tishivim, you shall return it to him, a positive commandment. Lo suchal lisalem, and you shall not close your eyes to it, a negative commandment. Now we had the word v'hisalamto, v'sucha l'hisalim, you shall not close your eyes, a number of times here. And one time it is written, v'hisalamto mehem, you shall close your eyes. But the way we read it is that it refers to the beginning of the pasuk, you shall not see the ox of your brother or the sheep wandering and close your eyes to it, to them. This is the simple meaning. However, the Gemara learns from here another halacha. Rashi brings it. The Gemara learns, I don't think we have one here. Can you give me a bomb that's here? Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis. Now the Mishnah in Chof Tes Amud Beis states, Motzo Sak O Kupa. The end of the Mishnah, that if a person, the Mishnah is teaching us these halachos, when you find something, you have to do your best to return it to the owner. What happens if he finds a sack full of produce, a sack of potatoes or onions or kupa or a box, he finds a box of vegetables, and this person is a dignitary, he's not the type of person that goes in the city carrying sacks of onions and potatoes or boxes of vegetables. So what's he supposed to do? Here, from one aspect, there's a positive commandment and a negative. Well, he's not supposed to close his eyes to this, and he's supposed to return it to the owner. From the other aspect, he's a very choshev person. He could be a zokein, an elderly person. He could be a chocham, a Talmud chocham. Or it could be that a very respectable person, a noble person. And the Mishnah gives us a formula that this is something that even if it was his own, he wouldn't carry it. So then Leito doesn't have to take it. He can leave it there. The Rashi explains, Dovish Shiginai Hulai. Shodim Khoshifu, may dark a little kupa shalelach, misem in a chutz lebayish shomor. This is something which is disrespectful to him, that even his own, he would not carry outside and bring it into the house. Therefore, potter me ashobes aveda. The Torah exempted him from this mitzvah of returning this lost article. The Alfinan, we learn it out from the word b'yisalamto. The Gemara goes into this and daf lamed, seif amud beis, and daf seif amud aleph, and lamed amud beis. Gemara says, "Menahani mili." How do we know this? The Tana Rabbonim, the rabbis taught. It says, "You shall not see the ox of your brother wandering, and close your eyes to it." Is it saying you shouldn't close your eyes to it, or you should close your eyes? Because it states, you shall not see the ox of your brother or the sheep of the brother, your brother wandering, and close your eyes to it. V'salamto. So the Gemara says the Torah is telling us two things. Pa'amim she'atom isalem, u'pa'amim she'atom isalem. Sometimes you are allowed to close your eyes to it. Sometimes you are not allowed to close your eyes to it. Okay, so. And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that this is referring to a zokein ve'ena lefi chreide. If this person is an odom choshuv, an important person, a dignified person, an elder, a noble person, important person in the community, or a Talmud chacham, then he is allowed to close his eyes to it. Since it's not lefi chreide, since it's not within his honor to take this big box of vegetables and put it on his shoulder and carry it through the streets. Then the Gemara says, Omar Ova, Kol she bishalei machzeh, bishal chavei denami machzeh. This is the formula. If that was your own and you found it, then, and you would take it and carry it home, then bishal chaverei, if it belongs to your chaver, you also have to do it. Kol she bishalei perik v'tein, bishal chaverei nami perik v'tein. If your animal was falling under its load, or if you would load an animal in public, then for your chavere, you also have to do it. But if not, if you would not do something like this for yourself in public, then you are exempted from this mitzvah of Ashovas Aveda, of returning a lost article or Atzolus Momen Chavere to help save the money of a person. You are also exempted. This is a Gemara in Bava Tzia, Daf Lamed Omed Beis. Gemara brings a case. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yesi have a causal beurcha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yesi, he was from the great scholars, great sages. He was walking one day down the road. Poga be'ahu gavra. He met a fella. Havadori pischa the ufe. This fella was carrying a bundle of firewood, fire twigs on his back. Usfino v'kovi sapich. The fella became tired, and he took off the load and put it down and rested. Omalei, when he rested a bit and he wanted to load up again, see, he told Rabbi Shmuel, Dalili, here, help load it on my back. So Rabbi Shmuel had a predicament. For Rabbi Shmuel to get involved in loading firewood on this fellow's back in public, this was not respectful for his station. On the other hand, he did not want to exempt himself from the mitzvah. So what should he do? So he said, Omalei kama shovim. He says, this whole load, what's it worth? Palga de Zuza. The person told him a half a zuz. He says, all right, I'll buy it from you. Yoiv le palga de Zuza. He gave him a half a zuz and bought it from him. Va'afkere. And then he said, it's hefker, it's ownerless. And he left it and was going to walk away. The fella saw this. So the fella ran to it and says, if you're leaving it, I'm taking it. Now help me load it. So he gave him another half a zuz. He says, I'll buy it from you again, the afkere. And he said, made it hefker, and he said it should be ownerless. Well, this fellow was going for it again. He said, he says, I make it ownerless for everybody in the world except for you. So finally the guy left it and went away. The Gemara says, really, you cannot make something ownerless to everybody except to one person. But he just told him that. But then the Gemara asks, that what was the problem? He says, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yesi, Zokein Veina Levi Chvedai. He was a Zokein. He's a Talmud Chacham. She was exempted from the mitzvah. So what was the whole problem? He should have just walked away. He said, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yesi, Lifni Meshuras Hadin Hu Da Omad. Lifni Meshuras Hadin, he wanted to fulfill more than the halacha. He was exempted. But at the same time, he did not want to accept the exemption. So therefore, he did this. It's interesting in Shulchan Aruch and Cheshen Mishpat is brought that if a person is a Talmud Chacham and he's confronted with a similar situation, so he's exempted. But what happens if he does not want to exempt himself? So the Ramah brings, he's not allowed to be Machmer. He's not allowed not to exempt himself. Because if he's going to start getting down on his hands and knees here with this, it's a disgrace for Torah. Speaking about a Talmud Chacham, says what he can do, he can help the man by giving him money and leaving it. See, this is the sorcerer. See, we see that Rabbi Shmuel didn't want to exempt himself from the mitzvah, but still he didn't load the fella, because that he had no right to, because that would be a disgrace to Torah. So what he could do, though, is let him buy the whole Aveda, he'll buy the whole lost article from the fella. So that's what he did. From here we see further, actually, 3 points. Firstly, God will cover Abrius, that the Torah was very concerned with the honor of an individual, to the point where it's Decha, a mitzvah's essay and a mitzvah's leishase. It takes precedence over a positive and negative commandment. That's the case here. However, the Gemara says that's b'shev al taser, through an inaction. See, over here, the commandments, the mitzvahs, are becoming nullified through an inaction. The person is not desecrating them be a dime through an action. So we see God will cover Abrius. How great did the Torah consider the respect and the honor of an individual, where it exempted him from a esse veleisas, a positive and negative commandment, through a shev al taser, through an inaction. Secondly, we see from here, Tosfos brings this out, that we're not speaking here necessarily of a bizein godel, of a great disgrace, because this is not a great disgrace. But even a disgrace. I'm not asking someone who brings a case, for example, to go running through the marketplace without any clothing on. I'm just asking him, help the man load his animal. Okay. So even a bizein she'ein a bizein godel, even a disgrace, a dishonor which is not a gefelicha dishonor, still the Torah took that in account and pater exempted a person from mitzvahs in this kind of situation. And thirdly, we see even when it's relevant to his own disgrace, so certainly then when it's relevant to someone else's disgrace, in other words, the Torah didn't even want the person to cause disgrace to himself, so certainly he's not allowed to cause disgrace to someone else, because when he's causing disgrace to himself, it's not a beinorim lechaveiro dekadin. He's not causing harm, and he's not causing hurt to another person. So certainly then, and still the Torah exempted him from mitzvahs. So still, to go fulfill a mitzvah and through this cause hurt to others, cause disrespect to others, that for sure one is not allowed to do. On this point, where we see even to cause disgrace to one, to himself, because this is not such a disgrace, he's doing it himself. On this point, we have a similar Gemara in Psochim, which we've quoted in the past. Gemara brings and that Gimel Amud Beis in Psochim, there were two Talmidim, two disciples, Davi Yasve Kamed Rav. They were sitting and hearing the shir from Rav, and Rav had just given a very, very big shir. After the shir, Chado Amashiv Sidan Hashmaitzer Kidava Acher Mesankum. One said that this shir, now this is I am learning here like Rabbi Nachman learns. So One said that this shiur was so full, that so much in it, that I feel like a stuffed dover acher. Dover acher refers to a chazir. This is what he said. I feel like a stuffed pig after a shear like that. It had so much in it. The chad omar, the other said, shavisina ishmaitse kikdimesanke. The other one said, this shear was so full, it had so much in it. I feel like a stuffed goat. Leishtei rav bahadi deyach. Rav heard both comments. So the one who said that I feel like a stuffed goat, that he was happy with. The one who said I feel like a stuffed chazer, like a stuffed pig, Rav wouldn't talk to him anymore. So different Rishonim learn different ways. But Rabbi Nechanano learns, what did he do wrong? He says what he did wrong, Lefisha Diber al Atzmai Genai, because he insulted himself. He referred to himself as a stuffed pig. And therefore Rav won't talk to him anymore. So we see that not only does a person have to be careful about someone else's honor, but even his own honor, that person must be careful with. You would think, look, if I call you a pig, no, that I understand. If I call myself, what's the matter with it? Yeah? No. Rav won't talk with him anymore. Because he spoke to himself on himself in a degrading manner. Because this is called Abrius, a person is created B'tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem. If he degrades another person, so not only is he degrading the image of Hashem, but he's hurting someone else. If he degrades himself, alright, maybe he's not hurting himself, but he's still degrading the image of Hashem. It's an interesting story that I heard from Rabbi Perlow. He should be well and strong. Rabbi Perlow learned, he studied by the great Chofetz Chaim in Ram. And he said that at one time, the Chofetz Chaim came back from a trip. Chofetz Chaim was a great traveler. He used to travel around, and he used to sell his sforim. He wrote many, many classical sforim. And used to go around and sell them. And the Chofetz Chaim also was a person who never held a public position. He wasn't even a rov, didn't even have smicha. The story goes that in later years he needed a document of a smicha for the Russian government, because the Russians were making all kind of decrees. This was in his later years already. So he went to the Chaim Reiser for a smicha. But otherwise, his whole life he didn't even have smicha, because he never held a public position. He was never a rov. He was a shopkeeper. And even though he had a yeshiva, he didn't take the position of Rosh Yeshiva. He used to bring in someone who would be the Rosh Yeshiva. And because of that also, he would never dress in rabbinical garb. For many here you're speaking someone who was the leader of a generation of giants, and his reputation was known in every part of Europe and all over the world. But he wouldn't dress in rabbinical garb. He said, look, I'm not a rov. So he went around. That's why whenever you see a picture of the Chofetz Chaim, he's not wearing a rabbinical hat, he used to wear a cap. Because of that, there are many stories of the Chofetz Chaim with mistaken identities. A very humble person, and he would come into a strange town, and they would think, no chayid. So one time he came into a city, and he went into an inn, and there was a few other Jews there, and they asked him, they said, Shalom Aleichem, Ayid, where are you from? So he said, Raden. He said, Raden? Oh, isn't that the city of where the Chofetz Chaim lives? He said, yes. So they said, the Chofetz Chaim, he is such a great goat and such a great tzaddik and a saint, So the Chofetz Chaim was in the dilemma. He said, what am I going to do? Say yes. He was, yes, he's a great Gaon, he's a great saint. He was such a humble person. So he said, he's not such a great Gaon. He's not such a great saint. He's a regular Jew. They became so angry, they beat him up. How dare you speak on the Chofetz Chaim like that? They beat him up and he had to run away. So when he came back to Radin, he told over the story and he said, what do you learn from here? That Loshon Hara Miton Mishered Nafzich Alein Eichet. That a person not only is not allowed to say Loshon Hara on another Jew, but you're not allowed to say Loshon Hara on yourself either. So he says, this is what he learned from there. So this is that a person has to have covered not only for others, but for himself also. And we see that the Torah was very demanding of that. We have another Gemara on this. The Gemara in Masechet Berachos. And if you test them at base, the Gemara is going on a posuk in Bamidbar, Parshas Nosei. Parshas Nosei, which is Bamidbar Vav, Pasuk Hei and Vav. Speaking here, the Torah is speaking here of the Nozer, the Nazirite. Excuse me, Vav and Zayin. So it states, Kol Yemei Hazire La Hashem Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yoveh. That as long as he's a Nazir, a Nazirite, he's accepted upon himself this extra Kedusha, this extra sanctity. Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yoveh, he is not allowed to come into contact with a dead person. He becomes like a Kohen. And he's not allowed to go to a Levaya, to go to the Beis HaKfores, not allowed to come into contact with a dead person. La'ovi v'le'imai la'ochi v'la'chese le'yitam alehem b'meisam. To his father, to his mother, to his brother, to his sister, he shall not make himself impure to them when they are dead. Because he has the crown of the Nazarite of Hashem on his head. The Gemara asks the question, what do we mean this? To his father and mother and brother and sister, state, that he is not allowed to come into the contact of any dead person. So what do we have to itemize it for? So the Gemara brings, it's from the Gemara brings it partially in Berachos Daf Yutes on the Beis and Daf Chof, but Rashi and Tosfos explain from the Sifri that from each one of these we learn halacha, we learn another law. From the fact that it says the Aviv, that to his father he shall not make himself tummy. And that we don't need because it already said. That comes to tell us that to his father he shall not make himself tummy. But he can to a meis mitzvah. That if there's someone that dies and there is no one around to bury this person, he's walking along a road and he finds a dead corpse and there's nobody burying him, and he's a nozir. His father he cannot make himself impure because someone else will bury his father. But a meis mitzvah, a mitzvah shein, a meis shein lekeivrim, a dead person that has no one to bury him, then he's allowed to to make himself impure to. Right, that's L'Oviv, to his father. What is the pasuk L'Imay? Says his mother he's not allowed to bury. This is telling us that what happens if this Nozir had two kedushas, he had two sanctities. He was both a Nozir and a Kohen. So he is not allowed to bury his mother because someone else will bury her from the family. But a meis mitzvah, but if he confronts a dead person who has no one to bury, then he must bury them, even though he is going to defile trei kedushas, two sanctities, that of the Nazirite and that of a Kohen. Now, L'Ochiv says to his brother, he cannot become impure. What do we need that for? What would happen if he had three kedushas? What are three kedushas, three sanctities? He was a Nozir, he was a Kohen, and he was a Kohen Godel. He was also the Kohen Godel. And the Kohen Godel, all three. So to his brother, he cannot become defiled. But to a mace, a dead person that has no one to bury him, that he's allowed to. He's allowed to defile all three kedushas. Then what do we need al achaisai, to a sister? So this is speaking, it's a question in Rashi and Tosfos, is this speaking about the same person or speaking about someone else? But the Gemara says this is speaking about someone, harei shohoya heilech lishchedes piskoi, belomail es benoi. A person, it was Erev Pesach, and he was going to shech, to sacrifice the Korban Pesach. Or another case, it was the eighth day, and he was going to fulfill the mitzvah milah on his son, circumcision. If, heaven forbid, someone in his family would die, so it's a whole question, what should he do? But it states, if it's a meis mitzvah, if it's a dead person that has no one to bury, then first he must go do the mitzvah, and then go back. Excuse me. He must delay the mitzvah and go bury. Now, in this case, he could transgress the mitzvah, because once he'll go bury the person, then he becomes tamei impure. Once he's impure, he's disqualified from the Korban Pesach. He won't be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Or it could be that when he buries, by the time he gets back, it'll be nightfall already, and it'll no longer will be the eighth day, and he will have transgressed the mitzvah of Mila Bishmini, of Mila on the eighth day. So if he is going for the mitzvah of Mila or the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and he happens to find himself in a situation where there's a person that needs burial and there's no one else that can do it, so this, we learn from here that he sets aside the other mitzvahs and he goes and buries the dead person, even though through this he'll become disqualified from the Korban Pesach. He won't be able to bring it at Pesach. He'll have to wait another month and bring the Pesach Sheni. Or he might transgress the mitzvah of Milah on the eighth day. He might have to do it on the ninth day. The Gemara, with Rashi and Tosfos explain here, Godel Kovar Abrius. We see how much the Torah was interested in honor towards another person, that he should not be disgraced. Because someone who's dead and he is without burial, and nobody's taking care of him, butl b'bishayin, this is a great disgrace for him. So far where the Torah allowed one to transgress a positive and negative commandment, because by the Kohen there's both a positive and negative commandment to become impure, and even if he has three kedushas, even though he has the kedusha, the sanctity of a Nozir, and the sanctity of the Kohen, and the sanctity of the Kohen Godel, So there's going to be many mitzvahs he's going to break, and even to transgress a mitzvah esei sheish ba koresh. There are two positive commandments that have koresh, that are given a penalty of where if a person doesn't fulfill it, heaven forbid, he's cut off from the nation. And that's Pesach, the sacrifice of Pesach, and Milo. Still, he was given permission to transgress these mitzvahs, because Godel Kovar Abrius, the Gemara says, we see how great the Torah took into consideration Kovar Abrius, honor to another person. Actually, the Gemara always says, when it comes to transgressing mitzvahs for the honor of sake of an honor of another person, that's through a sheva al taseh, like we mentioned, through an inaction, not where you actively transgress it. Over here, Tesfus in Rashi says, look, by the Milo and the Pesach, there he's inactively transgressing it. But by the Tuma, where he's making himself impure, there he's actively transgressing it. So Tesfus says, in this case, even where you're actively transgressing it, you can, because these mitzvahs are a little weaker than other mitzvahs, because it's the Bayanozer is Yeshlo Sha'ilo. She'elo. The Nazarite can annul. It's a vow, so it can be annulled. And by the Kohen, it's a negative commandment where we do not find by all of Israel. But at any rate, we see that he was allowed to. The Gemara also mentions that it states, when it comes to an isa min rabbonim, till now we were speaking about a prohibition from the Torah. When it comes to a mitzvah min rabbonim, so there the Gemara says that kovod abrius takes precedence. Honor to another person takes precedence over a mitzvah rabbonim, even b'kumba aser, even if you are actively transgressing it. Mor brings a case, for example, Midalgin Hoyinu al Gabi Arenes Likras Malchi Yisrael. One of the sages says that we used to, he was a Kohen, and he says that we used to be allowed to take a shortcut through a cemetery, even though we were Kahanim. We used to be allowed to do this in order to come and meet the kings of Israel and give honor to them. And then the Gemara says, not only likras malchei Yisrael, but elafil likras malchei Akum shim yiske yafkin be malchei Yisrael malchei Akum. And we were allowed to do this, they were kahanim, even to greet the non-Jewish kings, because that will also be an honor to the Jewish kings, because if we will be zeicha to live to the days of the Mashiach, we will see how greater our kings are than they are. So you see, mishum kovod hamelech, for the honor of the king, which is also kovod abrius, the Gemara says, because that's lefi kreide, this is his station. We were allowed to go through a cemetery even though we were kahanim, and the Gemara asks, how were you? The Gemara says it was where there was only Tuma de Rabbonim. There was a situation where the impurity was only from an enactment of the rabbis, not from the Torah. And there we were allowed to transgress even with a kumbase. And then the Gemara brings further that many times when it came to a mitzvah derabonim, one is allowed to transgress it in order for the honor of someone else, not to disgrace him. And the Gemara asks, but leishosor, we had in last week's parsha, Parsha Shefti, you're not allowed to turn away from the words of the rabbis, and that's from the Torah. So Gemara says still you can, and Rashi explains why, and he says it's the Raiso Rabbonan achlu liyikrayu lavar al divrei meichadika kovar abrius. The Rabbonon waived their honor. You have to listen to the rabbis from the Torah. The Torah demands that we listen to the rabbis. But the Rabbonon waived their honor and authority where it came to a situation that you might disgrace yourself or someone else. Again, we see Godel Kovar Abrius, how great the Torah took into concern the honor of a person. Now, till now we were speaking where it's a case of dishonor, not showing proper respect, or a dead person that he's not having any emotional feeling, but still it's a disgrace that he should be left without burial. What happens if the disgrace is so great that it's mal bin pnei chaver v'rabim, where you might shame someone publicly to the point where the Gemara says that his face turns pale? There the Gemara tells us in Masechta Seita Daf Yudam at Beis, the Gemara says Amar Reb Shimon Chasido Ve'amri Lo Amar Reb Yechon Mishum Reb Shimon Ben Yochai Neach Leilo Odom Shiyapil Atzme L'teich Kifshon HaEish. It's better that a person should throw himself into a furnace of fire Ve'al Yalbin Penei Chavere Barabi, rather than to disgrace, to shame someone publicly to the point where he turns pale. Min olam mitomar. Where do we know this from? From Tomar. The case of Yehuda and Tomar. Yehuda had a union with Tomar. He didn't know who she was. Later on it was reported to Yehuda, who was the shefet, he was the judge, that his daughter-in-law Tomar is pregnant. So he said, "Hey, Tziul v'sisare, she must be burnt." When they took her out to burn her, she had taken certain security from Yehuda. So she put those on the table. She had a staff, she had a ring, and so forth. But nobody knew who they belonged to. She put it on the table and she said, "Hakirino. The one who these belong to, let him come and claim them. Let him recognize them, because he is the father." But she wouldn't say it was Yehuda. She left that up to him. So the Gemara says, she said, if he wants to come and claim and admit to this, then let him do so. If not, then I am not going to disgrace him publicly, but I will rather allow myself to be thrown into the fire. So therefore, Reb Shimon Yochai says, we learn from here, that it's better that a person should be thrown into a fiery furnace and not be malbim pnei chaver v'rabim, and not embarrass someone publicly. Now this is not just a story, this is halacha. We see from here that life and death, which takes precedence over all mitzvahs, when it's a matter of life and death, you can cook on Shabbos. If it's a matter of life and death, you can eat on Yom Kippur. Life and death takes precedence over all mitzvahs in the Torah except three. And those three are avodah zarah, idolatry. Someone points a gun at you and says, "Serve this idol, otherwise I'll shoot." Now, That takes precedence over life and death. Shvichas domim, murder. Someone points a gun at you and says, kill that person, otherwise I'll kill you. No, you're not allowed to. That takes precedence over life and death. And gila arayis, adultery and incest, takes precedence. But otherwise, life and death takes precedence over kol hateira kula, the entire Torah, chutz migimel, with the exception of those three. Here we see a fourth instance. And Tosfos asks the question. Tosfos says, according to this, there's four places that take precedence over life and death. That rather than to publicly disgrace someone, you have to allow yourself to be put to death. So why does the Gemara say only three all the time and not four? So Tosfos answers, he says, you're right, it's four. But they knock out Elaveris Mefereshes. When the Gemara says three, it's speaking about those which are explicitly in the Torah. We learn explicitly from the Torah. But he says, Emes, it's true. The Aloha is four times. There's four times that one must allow himself to be put to death rather than to transgress a mitzvah. And the fourth mitzvah is the mitzvah of not disgracing someone publicly, to the point where it'll be such a disgrace his face will grow pale. So here we see that here this takes precedence even over life and death. Now, if life and death takes precedence over all mitzvahs, and these four take precedence over life and death, so then it's logical to say that these four take precedence over all mitzvahs. In other words, just like a person cannot, in order to perform a mitzvah, serve idolatry, or in order to perform a mitzvah, kill someone, or in order to perform a mitzvah, commit adultery. So the same thing, a person cannot fulfill a mitzvah, a person is not allowed to disgrace someone, scandalize someone, even in order to perform a mitzvah. But it takes precedence even over his own life, which takes precedence over all mitzvahs except these. There's another Gemara, one more Gemara. And this is a Gemara in Chagiga, which we've often quoted. And this whole, everything that we're speaking about, particularly this Gemara, is very relevant to this time that we're in Elul. And we are in the month before Rosh Hashanah. In Chagiga, Daf Hey, Seif Omer Aleph, Shlema Melech King Solomon wrote at the end of Kehelis, Ki es kol maase lekim yove bamishpot. A person must know that everything that he does, Ki es kol maase lekim yove bamishpot, everything that he does, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring judgment. You must not think that many things will get swept under the carpet, but all of his acts HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring to judgment. Al kol ne'elam, even things which are totally concealed HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about. Miteiv adara, whether they're good or evil. Says Rabbi Yechanan used to cry when he would read this pasuk. How can a person face judgment when you go to a judge who's a boss of a dom, flesh and blood? No, we can get away with a lot of things, but here it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every act that a person does, he brings to book, and even if it's something that's concealed from everyone.
So the Gemara says, what is it speaking about? So it gives examples. And these examples, many of them have to do where someone was merely disrespectful to someone else. For example, speaking about something that is like a concealed aveira, not apparent. He had a bug on his, some type of insect on his sleeve, and he squashed it in front of someone else. Well, the other person became beguiled, his stomach was turned because of it. So generally we don't look at that as an aveira, but that was a lack of respect for the other person. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring it to book. Shmuel Amar, another case, Zaharop ifnei chaveira venimas. A person wants to spit, and he spits in the presence of another person, and the other person becomes beguiled from it. Right? Again, this is a lack of respect, a lack of honor for another person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him to book on it. Then the Gemara says, alright, that's good ra, but Shlema Melech says, im tevim ra. Not only if he does bad, but even while doing good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him to book also. What does it mean while doing good? So the Gemara says, many times we want to do mitzvahs. But while we do mitzvahs, we are causing harm to someone. That's what it means. Not only when you do bad, but even when you think you're doing good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also will bring this to judgment. What's an example? A nation stocker only before Hesha, that he has some money and he wants to give it to a poor person, so he gives it to him in the presence of others, and the poor person becomes mavuyish, she becomes ashamed. He should have called him over to the side and gave it to him, but he gives it to him in the presence of others. So that's a case where he thinks he's doing good, but meanwhile he's embarrassing someone. There was a case where Rabbi Yannai saw a person give some money to a poor person publicly. It would have been better that you hadn't given it to him than you give him something in a disrespectful manner. See, and you shame him. You're destroying his esteem, his self-esteem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us to judgment on that. Now another case, Rav Shila Amri Zanesin Stokalisha Beseser, the Komaisi Leidle De Choshto, just the opposite. It shows you how much a person is required to think. It says there was a man that wanted to give stoka to a poor woman. So he had learned this halacha. You shouldn't give to someone publicly. So he called her over into a room privately and he gave her money. So they told him he did wrong. Why? Because if someone sees you call a woman over to the side privately and you give money, you got people that start thinking what's going on there, and that lowers, you damage your reputation, and you just damage your reputation. So we see how careful one has to be with his own honor and certainly with the honor of others, to the point where the Torah even permitted one to transgress mitzvahs min HaTorah. Many, many important mitzvahs min HaTorah. We are a Shavuos Aveda, returning an Aveda. Or by the Kohen, by the Nozir, by the Kohen Godel. And even mitzvahs the Rabbonim. Rather than be disrespectful to someone else. Now, how much more so then? Unfortunately, we have situations where people become very zealous in mitzvahs. And not only do they want to fulfill mitzvahs, but even at the expense of other people's honors and other people's feelings. But even when it comes not to a mitzvah, but when it comes, let's say, to a hidur mitzvah, a chasidus. We have a whole parsha of chasidus. Mora brings chosid. What is a chosid? And this is wonderful prokim in the Mesilas Yesharim. A chosid is someone who wants to fulfill a mitzvah in its totality. For example, the Mesilas Yesharim brings as a Mishnah when they used to bring the Bikurim, the first fruit, to the Beis HaMikdosh, it states that when they drove their wagons from the countryside into Yerushalayim, they were bringing the first fruits to the Beis HaMikdosh, they used to take their oxen and they used to put gold on the horns of the oxen and all types of ornaments and all types of beautiful flowers, and decorated the carts as they came into from the countryside to Yerushalayim. He says, what is that? He says, that's chasidus. Kodesh Baruch Hu told them, bring the fruits. Now a chosid wants to come and bring the fruit, fill a mitzvah with its fullness, with its totality, like a servant coming to a king. And he goes on great length. This is chasidus. But unfortunately, there's many people who want to be a chosid. We're not speaking about the mitzvah itself. We're speaking about all of these additional ornaments to the mitzvahs. Or when it comes to a chumrah, or when it comes to a minhag, a custom. And when they do that, they do it at the expense of other people's feelings. And here we see that the Torah was careful that we should become exempted. We should transgress not hidurim, not chasidus, but actual mitzvahs, rather than to hurt other people's feelings. And the Ramei Shechaim Letzate, this is the author of the Mesilas Yesharim, who was known as a chosid amiti, enormous righteous person, he writes on this. He writes that in many places. And one of the places he writes on it is in Perichov, the Mishkol HaChasidus. And he says as follows. He says, when one comes to become a chosid, he has to be very careful, because the Yetzer Hara comes and wants, entices a person to do things which he might think is good, as if they're mitzvahs gedalus, great mitzvahs, but really they can end up being not mitzvahs and even averus. And he says, when one wants to be a chosid, he says he has to keep three things in mind. Firstly, the main motivation should be only that he brings a nachas ruach to Hashem. He brings joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That must be his entire motivation. If he has other motivations, he says, forget about it. It's not going to be chasidus. He has motivations, ulterior motives. No. Secondly, he says, le'am oretz chosid. An ignorant person can't be a chosid. He says you have to be me'ayin iyun godl. Takes great chokhmah, great wisdom. And he says on every act that you do to in order to fulfill this chasidus. And then thirdly, after all of this, where his motive is entirely pure and he has done all of his homework in the mitzvah, still he has to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead him in the right way. And then he can come to the Shar HaChasidus, to the gate of Chasidus. And then he writes, he says, this is a very important principle when it comes to Chasidus. Mashet Sorek Lovin. You must never judge an act of Chasidus al Mareya Merishayim, on how it looks now. But you must judge it on Heichan Tolodes HaMaisim Agiyos, on the outcome of it. He says, never judge an act of Chasidus on the way it looks now. But you must always judge it on what will be the outgrowths of the act later. Because probably my mice bats me yere at all. Sometimes what you do can look 100% good. But the talodas are raw. But the fruits of it, the outcomes will be bad. Then anichai. Then it's not chasidus, you must not do it. And if you do it, chayte, the lei chosid. You're a chayte. You're a sinner, not a chosid. And on that he gives many, many examples, which we'll quote a few. Some are directly like we're speaking. Some are regards to others. He says, for example, we have a fast day known as Seim Gedalia. That was a story with Gedalia ben Achikam. Gedalia ben Achikam, who was the leader of the Jews at that time, they came to him Yechanan ben Koreach, and he told him that this person Yishmael is an evil man and he wants to cause trouble. And Gedalia, who was a very saintly person, what did he say? He said, Sheker ato David. It's Loshon Hara. What are you coming and telling me Loshon Hara on someone? It's a lie. I don't want to hear it. This was a Rav Chasidus. He says, this Chasidus looked wonderful. What would the Chometz Chaim say? Person doesn't want to accept Loshon Hara. What can be wrong with that? He says, yes. At that point, it looked very good. What was the outcome? Goram Shemesu. This caused his own assassination. And being that he was in such an influential position, Nifsro Yisrael, it caused the Golus. Klal Yisrael went into Golus. The Kova Gehaltim Anishoro. And it put out the light of Israel. At this point, it looked wonderful, the Hasidus. But it must be judged on the fruits that will come out of it one day. Not at this point. He says another example. And the Torah held him guilty for everything that happened. It says, Asher hiko biyad Gedaliyahu. All of this spilling of blood that came because of Gedaliyahu. Another case. He says, we have the famous case of Kamsa bar Kamsa. Zechariah ben Avkolis was a very saintly person. And when they wanted to start trouble, he wanted to start trouble with, get Israel trouble with the Romans, so he told the Romans, send him an animal and tell him you want it sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash. And then he made a blemish in the animal. So when they got the animal, they didn't know what to do. They said, Maybe we should sacrifice it. So Zechariah said, no, it's against the halacha, because we're not allowed to sacrifice balimumim, animals with blemish, and people will learn from here that you can sacrifice it. So they said, well, we can't let this guy go back because he'll say we didn't sacrifice it. They thought we need, that's the alilo, that's what the Romans are looking for, to start war with us. Let's kill him, and then he'll never be able to go back to tell his story. And they were allowed to kill him, because without this, the Romans would have brought bloodshed. Rabbi Zecharia said, no, because then people will learn from here that if you make a blemish in an animal which is Kodesh, you get killed. Because of the whole business and the delay and everything, this Jew went back to the Romans, and he told the Romans that they won't sacrifice, and the Caesar came, he was Machriv Yushalayim, he destroyed Yushalayim, and that's what Rabbi Yechanan said, and Visonusei Shel Rabbi Zechariah, it was the saintliness, the over-saintliness, and the over-humility of Rabbi Zechariah, Hechriva Es Beiseinu, destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, Sorfe Es Hecholeinu, burnt the Beis HaMikdash, we glasnu libnei ha'umais, and sent us into exile by the nations. Now, the Mesillas Yesharim, the Baal Mesillas Yesharim says, this looked good at the time. He was perfect. He was cautious. He says, this was beautiful Hasidus at the time. But Hasidus, you don't look at how it looks now. You have to be a great Chochem. That's why it says, Le'amoritz Chosid. In England, can be a Chosid. You have to look with great Chochmah, what can be the outcome. And that's how you must judge it. What is better? Hasio aprisha, to do it or not to do it. Another case he brings. This is relevant to our case. It says you must rebuke your fellow man. He says, how many times do we get involved with friends or relatives? I just had a case where someone got a relative, and the relative is doing something which is not good at all. And he wants to go, and he says, look, I must tell him, I've told him, I must cut off relations with him or whatnot. So he says, how many times do we get involved with that? We give rebuke. Bizman shein devorim nishmoim. We give rebuke in cases where we know the other person is not going to listen. He says, you know what you do with that? From one side, you're a chosid. Look, I stand up and I rebuke him. I tell him. I don't flinch. But you know what you're causing with that? He says, Gedim lem lisparich yeseh berishom. You're causing them to go further away from Torah and to become greater rishoyim many times. Ulachal Hashem. And you cause them to be machal Hashem lahisivachotos and pesha. That till now, maybe they were doing it, they didn't know so much. And now you let them know exactly, and meanwhile, you'd get just the opposite response. He says, in that case, the chassidus is to keep your mouth closed. Like the Chazal say, just like it's a great mitzvah to tell someone what's right and wrong, if he'll listen to it, so is it a great mitzvah to keep your mouth closed when you know that he will not listen to it. We don't have time to go through all the cases he brings. One other case we'll mention. He says, David HaMelech said, he says, I will never be ashamed of my Torah or my mitzvahs. David HaMelech was a king, and he was a mighty king, and as a king he had to have a lot of interaction with heads of state. powerful heads of state. So he says, even when I go someplace, he says, I will still be the king of Israel. I will be a Jew. When I go someplace else, just because I'm in Asia or I'm going to meet with a king of Europe or the United States, he says, I won't become a goy. Even by kings I will speak of your Torah and I will not be ashamed. And this is what we learned in the Mishnah of us. You must be courageous like a leopard, strong like a lion. So the Baal Mesivah Shishorim says, but still you can't be a Galem. You have to use your head. You got a lot of people that walk into minefields head first and create great explosions. He says, for example, if it comes to fulfill the actual mitzvah, and there are people here that will laugh at me if I do it, but we're talking about the actual mitzvah, alright, you have to be strong. Just because people are going to laugh at you, no, you have to be a Jew and you have to fulfill the mitzvah, and that's what David HaMelech was talking about. But ach yesh eze teisvus chasidus. But many times we're not talking about the mitzvah, we're talking about the chasidus of the mitzvah. That if you do it before the public, yishaku alov, they will laugh at you, be slaitzesu, and they will make litzonis. V'nimtzo chayti b'nenoshim al yodoi, and you will get punished for that. You will get punished for it. Why? Because you are causing other Jews to sin. Does anybody ever think of that? He says, if I do something that will cause other Jews to laugh at me, that's a sin. Right? They're laughing at me doing the mitzvah. But I caused that sin. I will also be punished. He didn't have to do it. He could have left the chasidus. We're not talking about the actual mitzvah, we're talking about the hinder, we're talking about the minhog, we're talking about the chasidus of it, the chumrah. He could have left it and then they wouldn't have laughed at him. He's causing Jews to sin. That's a machti eschare acherim. You cause Jews to sin, now Kodesh Baruch Hu takes you to book also. Ki ein mechaber bochletes, this chasidus is not an obligation which cannot be deferred. He nei dovek is there. In such a case, vadeshi yesa hogun hu lechosid shianeichu meishaseyo. There the chasidus is not to do it. Not to do it. And that's what the Novi said, the prophet said, Hatznei alechasim alakecho. Walk in secret with Hashem. Your chasidus do between you and Hashem. Not publicly. Because you cause people to laugh at you. The kama chasidim gedalim. He says, Mishle Shishorim is right in this. He lived 300 years ago, 250, 300 years ago. He says, Kama Hasidim Gedolim, there are many great Hasidim that he knew. Hei nichu miminage Hasidusa b'yesa bein amein ha'om. That would not fulfill their Hasidus when they were together with the public. Because they wouldn't understand it, they would laugh, or they would say, Mexic Yehuda, who does this guy think he is? It looks like arrogance. And they would only do it b'seisa. Klal shaldover called mashu ikre b'mitzvah. He says, this is the klal. If it's the actual mitzvah, that we must do even if they'll laugh at us. But if it's not the actual mitzvah, it's a teisvus, it's an addition to the mitzvah, and it's gerim shchayk v'hitul, and it's going to cause people to laugh, lo yaseu, then you must not do it. Then the chasidus is not to do it. So he brings you, see how much iyun, how much wisdom it takes to be a chosid. So the same thing here. We know mitzvahs we must do. But the Torah is telling us if the mitzvahs are going to cause hurt to others, the mitzvahs are going to cause disgrace to others, shame to others, these are red flashing lights. And he says then it takes great iyun. Then a person has to study to know when is he allowed to do such a mitzvah, when is he not allowed to do such a mitzvah. Because Godel Kovar Abriyas HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want from your mitzvahs that other people would suffer. He goes on further, but we don't have time to go into it further. So these are some of the principles which are very, very great principles, especially in this time when it comes to, here we're speaking firstly in regards to one's own honor, but secondly between man and his fellow man, that how careful and how much is demanded from a Jew. This is why it states Godel HaTalmud, a Jew must always learn, because Talmud maybe l'day maishu, he can only come to the level of doing through his learning. We see that even the Torah, when it came to the honor of people, exempted us from many, many mitzvahs, Godel Kovar Abriyas, how important it is to give honor to other people.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.